House will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gilzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlake. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Excused. Boquist, Burley, Greenlake, Jensen, excused for business of the House, Nolan.
Flag salute will be led by Representative Vicki Berger.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm really honored to have a constituent with me today visiting here at the Capitol, Ms. Katie Larcell, and she is also the chair of the Park Rose School Board. I hope you'll help me welcome Katie.
Further courtesies. Messages from the governor. We're going to check on a quorum. Representative Wisnett, what purpose do your eyes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize. We return to courtesies. I didn't get my key in fast enough.
Representative Wisnett, ask unanimous consent to return to courtesies. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Okay. Dear colleagues, I'd like to introduce a outstanding young lady, Jenny Lilge, who's been working. It's an interesting story. She got off the elevator one day and said she wanted to come work at the Capitol. And I was the only one working, or you would may have had a chance to enjoy meeting this young lady. So she came to work for us as an intern, and the last month we've hired her as staff. Jenny's a bright young lady who is attending Willamette. She's involved in their four-year program to get an MBA and a law degree. So I'm really lucky and fortunate to have her. She's a native of Northern California. She attended Principia College in Illinois, and we're really blessed and fortunate to have her, and we hope she'll continue to work for us. She and her husband enjoy camping and the coast, and we're really fortunate. Please extend courtesies to Jenny today.
Further courtesies. We now have a quorum. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed House Bills 2760, 2774, 2946, 3420, 3469, 2127, 2179, 2181, 2508, 2553, 3093, 3133, 79, adopted SCR 17, passed the following House Bills as amended by the Senate. House Bill 2203, 2234, 2280, 2284, 2723, 2848, 31, 20, 2096, 2114, 2131, 2311, 2322. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform that he has signed Senate Bills 255, 257, 292, 517, 829. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform that he has signed House Bill 5441, 2097, 2124, 2147, 2202, 2220, 2233, 2236, 2247, 2272, 2297, 2334, 2559, 2437, 2565, 2583, 2765, 2833, 2867, 2902, 2937, 2941, 2974, 3380, HGM 4, 14, 19, HCR 11, HCR 11, and 34.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SCR 17, honoring Daniel O. Bernstein, President of Portland State University, for his leadership of Portland State University and his service to Oregon from 1997 to 2007.
Measure read first time has passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. The clerk will read the... The special order of business will actually be up as the first item this afternoon, so that takes us to propositions and motions. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2107 and repass the bill.
Representative Holvey moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2107B and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, the Senate made a very minor change to the bill, and it remains basically intact, a good bill, just requiring construction contractors notify the Construction Contractors Board of unpaid judgments. The effect of the committee amendment was directed that any resulting disciplinary action the board take into account a contractor making reasonable efforts to pay the judgment. I think that is a good and flexible approach so that we don't unduly punish someone without really due cause. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I urge and I vote on this motion.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Holvey, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Representative Bruin, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Try to get in the queue just to announce a potential conflict.
Representative Bruin asks to put a potential conflict of interest on the record.
I work for a commercial construction company that's regulated by the CCB.
It is duly noted. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise a potential conflict of interest as I'm a part owner in a construction company.
It is noted. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Potential conflict. I'm a licensed contractor in Oregon.
Thank you. It is duly noted for the record. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise to declare a potential conflict of interest in a construction company.
It is noted. Representative Thatcher.
You declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please go ahead and state it for the record.
A financial interest in a construction company.
It is noted for the record. Anyone else? Representative Holvey, did you decline to close?
Yes, I already did. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I decline again.
Thank you. Those who are of the opinion that the House should concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2107B and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? Representative McPherson votes aye. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Representative Flores is off the floor. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Representative Nelson is off the floor. Representative Butler votes no. House Bill 2107B. I think we have everyone updated on the board now. And House Bill 2107B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2107 and repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2117A and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you. House Bill 2117A is a housekeeping bill from the Landscape Contractors Board to correct terms used in statute regarding individuals and businesses performing landscaping services. The intent of the bill is to remove confusion between individuals who are licensed to perform landscape contracting and businesses that are either owned by a landscape contractor or employ licensed landscape contractors to perform services. The Senate added further clarification to the bill by changing the name of a, quote, landscape contractor, unquote, to a, quote, landscape construction professional, unquote, and resolve conflicts with a number of bills relating to landscape contracting. I'm confident you're all clear on that. It's a good bill. I urge we concur.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the House should concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2117A and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Representative Nelson is off the floor. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? He votes aye. And Representative Flores, how do you vote? Representative Flores is off the floor. House Bill 2117A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Holvey.
Yes.
Representative House Bill 2204.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just give me a moment, please. Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 2204 and repass the bill.
Representative Holvey moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2204B and repass the bill. To your motion.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 2204, if I remind the body, was limiting the maximum rate of interest on title loans. The Senate added certain sales leaseback arrangements to the definition of title loans. It remains a good bill, and I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
Colleagues, for the record, I want to recognize one of my interns, Galen Gamble, who is a Portland State University student, who brought to my attention the amendment that was approved by the Senate Commerce Committee to include sale leaseback transactions as a type of car title loan. And I just want to thank her for her work and urge you to support that amendment and pass the motion. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Butler.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I wasn't going to speak on anything today. You've heard too much from me already, but I'm going to say that, you know, this sale leaseback is just another one of the issues to attempt to get around this business of having the high lease costs or the high cost of money, and to put all of these things in statute, irrespective of the fact that the cost of money goes up and down, it ebbs and flows, and of course, right now, we're not terribly worried about that. I've personally tried to put in some legislation to nominate George Bush for the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. He's the only president that in 8 years has been able to turn our U.S. dollar into garbage overseas. Consequently, what's happened here is that the value of the U.S. dollar drives a very low interest rate locally, and we're perfectly willing to say 36% is as high as it would ever get. And there's a few of you that have gray hair on this floor, but very few that have more gray hair or less of it than I do. And you've got to remember the times when this country had a prime rate of 20% interest, and that will happen again. And when it does, maybe our U.S. dollar will then be stronger overseas, and consequently there'll be a greater demand for dollars. There'll be a greater demand for a higher interest rate, and the interest rates and the dollar amounts which we stick into statute in Oregon will have to be revisited, and will have to be revisited on a very rapid basis, or the people that you're trying to help in 2204 as being engrossed will actually be the people who are most damaged under this legislation. For that reason, I voted no when 2204 hit the House the first time on this floor, and I'm going to vote no for it again today. And please, let's go ahead and nominate him for that award anyway.
Further discussion, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
To the motion. Thank you so much. Just wanted to remind my colleagues that I voted no against this in committee, voted no the first time, and will vote again. The buzzword in our committee was predatory lending. It's an important issue. I think we tried very hard to address it. This bill, in my opinion, does not, as do a string of bills with good intentions, but for one of the reasons that the previous speaker just spoke, I will be a no.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Hovey, do you wish to close?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, you know, this bill also allows, in addition to 36% per annum, it also allows an origination fee of $10 per hundred on the loan. And, you know, that adds up. And at some point, regardless of what the prime or discount rate is or interest rates are, you know, there's a certain interest rate that people just can't afford to pay back, and it becomes predatory at that point. And we're making a policy in the state of Oregon that 36% is, you know, a pretty good return, and, you know, beyond that, people just can't afford to pay it back. And that's the point of this, and with the additional charges and fees they're allowed to charge on some of these short-term loans, you know, 36% annum is quite adequate, in our judgment, at least in committee, that allowed industry to survive. It's been shown in other states across the country that this has been quite doable by industry, and I urge an aye vote on this. Thank you.
Representative Wisnett asked for a call of the House. He is joined by Representatives Butler, Representative Dallin, Representative Barnhart, Representative Scott, Representative Cannon. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The Sergeant of Arms will attend. And the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Byer. Byer Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio Gerard, Gerard Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Conk, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson Nolan Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Beyer, Chris Edwards, Galizio, Crummel, Nelson, Nolan, excused, not subject to the call, Boquist, Burley, Greenlick, Jensen.
All members are present. Representative Richardson, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd request an oral roll call vote.
Representative Richardson requests an oral roll call vote, and he is joined by Representative Wisnant, Representative Gilman, Representative Butler, Representative Scott, and Representative Maurer. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2204B and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll in alphabetical order.
Barker.
Aye.
Barnhart.
Aye.
Berger. Beyer. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boone. Boquist. Bruin.
Aye.
Buckley.
Aye.
Burley. Butler.
No.
Cameron.
No.
Cannon.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Cowan.
Aye.
Dallum.
No.
Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gilzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hanna, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson.
Aye.
Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, voting no, Butler, Cameron, Dallum, Esquivel, Flores, Garrard, Gilliam, Gilman, Hanna, Jensen, Krieger, Crummel, Minnis, Morgan, Olson, Richardson, Scott, Thatcher, Wisnet, absent, Nelson, excused, Boquist, Burley, Greenlick. Representative Maurer, how do you vote? Voting no, Maurer.
Do I announce it? There are 36 ayes and 20 noes. The motion to repass House Bill 2204B, having received a majority, is declared repassed. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2256 and repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2256 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you. House Bill 2256B establishes guidelines for employers to follow when they wish to issue wages through electronic tools such as debit cards. The Senate added provisions for seasonal farm workers and cannery workers to utilize electronic payment by requiring that agreements must be in the language the employer principally uses to communicate with the employee. The bill should pass.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those are the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2256B and repass the bill. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Butler votes no. Representative Cowan, how do you vote? Cowan votes aye. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Excused for business of the House. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Off the floor. House Bill 2256, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Oh. Representative Olson, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I wish to change from no to aye.
Olson votes aye. House Bill 2256B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Schaffler.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2473B addresses the shortage of some types of electricians, such as... Oh, excuse me. Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2473 and repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2473B and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2473B addresses the shortages of some types of electricians, such as limited journeyman sign electricians and limited journeyman stage electricians. The Senate adopted amendments which remove the voltage restriction on limited maintenance electricians' license, which will allow electricians who work at industrial plants to keep their current license. Good bill. Should pass.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2473B and repass the bill will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Schaffler votes aye. House Bill 2473B, having received constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Schaffler.
I move the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 2478 and repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2478B and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you. House Bill 2478B establishes a 3-year moratorium on cities or counties assuming responsibility for administrating and enforcing building inspection programs. The Building Code Division is directed to establish rules regarding uniform permit inspection and certificate of occupancy requirements. The bill also requires a jurisdiction to ensure that a person that is required to be licensed has a valid license. Just for your information, there was a big work group of stakeholders on this bill, including League of Oregon Cities, Association of Counties, Special Districts, and the Building Trades, and they are all in agreement with this bill and these amendments.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Shopley, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2478B and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nelson, how do you vote?
Off the floor.
House Bill 2478, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. House Bill 2538, Representative Schaffler.
I move the House concur and send amendments to House Bill 2538 and repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2538A. And repass the bill. Representative Schaffler, to your motion.
Thank you. House Bill 2538A establishes continuing education requirements for landscape contractors for up to 10 hours per year. The Senate adopted conflict amendments with House Bill 2117, which clarifies the terminology of individuals and businesses performing landscaping services. The bill should pass.
Further discussion? Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2538A and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Flores votes aye. Representative Comp, how do you vote? Representative Comp, off the floor. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Off the floor. House Bill 2538A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Rosenbaum. Oh, Representative Cameron, for what purpose do you rise?
Permission to return to courtesies for the floor.
Representative Cameron requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Is there any objection? If not, so ordered.
After first inning, University of Virginia 0, Oregon State University 2.
A courtesy if I ever heard one. We're now on back on propositions and motions. Representative Rosenbaum.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2910 and repass the bill.
Representative Rosenbaum moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2910 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2910 is a different bill than it was the last time you saw it. The Senate found this a good place to introduce a very good idea, which I think if we'd thought of it first, we would have passed ourselves. So essentially, it replaces the original bill with a bill that allows voters, potential voters, when they are 17 to register to vote, not to cast their ballots until they turn 18, but to be registered at any time after their 17th birthday. You may be aware that people now can register 60 days before their birthday or before the date of an election. This is a way of getting people engaged in the process. Often what we find is when people are seniors in high school, they're very engaged in the political process through their social studies classes. And so if we can get them to be involved enough to actually fill out a voter registration form
there's a better chance that they will actually vote when they turn 18. As I'm sure you know, we have an abysmally low rate of voter participation for younger people, and this bill would seem to be a good way to encourage young people to get involved and hopefully stay involved in the political process. The bill passed the Senate with 27 ayes, one no, two members excused, and I would urge you to also give the bill your support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? She does not. Those are the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2910 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Off the floor. House Bill 2910B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3161 and repass the bill.
Representative Beyer moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3161 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill... I think I have the wrong... No, I do have the right one. Thank you. House Bill 3161 was a bill that we had on the consent calendar, which has allowed ODOT to establish a program to issue veterans recognition plates. The veterans have had any number of veterans plates that were not selling the required 500 per year, and so we were losing them. So we just reorganized them all into one group plate arena. And this bill, the amendment that was added to this bill, adds the Gold Star families as eligible for veterans recognition plate, the registration plate program. So I urge that we repass the bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Beyer, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3161B and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Butler votes aye. All members have voted. House Bill 3161B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3484 and repass the bill.
Representative Bonamici moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3484 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this was a consensus bill between the Department of Consumer and Business Services and the insurance industry. The first part was to more fairly allocate the cost of regulation among affected insurers, and the second part changed the group size from 10 to 2 for purposes of obtaining group insurance coverage. The Senate deleted the phased-in implementation of this bill. Both DCBS and the industry concur in this deletion and the amendment, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
She does not. Those are the opinion that the House concur in House Bill 3484, the Senate amendments to House Bill 3484 and repass the bill. Will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Butler votes aye. The House Bill 3484, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3538 and repass the bill.
Representative Rosenbaum moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3538 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 3538, as it passed the House, allowed for the creation of heritage districts to be formed by two or more counties and provided for membership election and powers. These heritage districts would then be able to pay the costs of acquiring or altering or otherwise maintaining heritage sites and structures and to establish and maintain heritage society programs. The Senate amendments did not significantly change this bill. They did amend one provision that now requires that credit balances that are on the books do need to be taken into consideration when these heritage districts prepare their annual budgets. And then the other amendments simply resolve conflicts with Senate Bill 773 and eliminate references to metropolitan service districts in certain provisions applicable to districts generally and that conflict with or are superseded by more specific provisions applicable to metropolitan service districts. The bill is still essentially the same bill that we passed out of here, and I would urge your support for the amendments and repassage of the bill.
Further discussion? Representative Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
She does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3538 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Voted. House Bill 3538, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. First reading of House Bills.
House Bill 3561, related to rate of compensation for log haulers. House Bill 3562, related to renewable energy.
Bills read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 2155, relating to amortization of veterans' loans.
Bill read second time is passed to third reading. Third reading of House Bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5003, relating to financial administration of the State Department of Agriculture and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5003. Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 5003 comes to you from your Joint Committee on Ways and Means, recommending approval. It's the fee ratification bill for the rule, the fees that were implemented through rulemaking during the 05-07 interim. They were on commodity inspections, registration of pesticide uses, livestock brand inspections. The revenue from these fees is already assumed in the budget for the Department of Agriculture. Passed out of Ways and Means, 17-2.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Klem, do you wish to close? He does not. Representative Richardson requests a call of House, and he is joined by Representative Dahlem, Representative Flores, Representative Hanna, Representative Wisnett, and Representative Gilman. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Beyer Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Cannon Clem, Cowan, Dahlem, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Galizio Garrard, Gilzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Jensen Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Crummel Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Nolan Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnett, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Chris Edwards, Galizio, Jensen, Crummel, Nolan, excuse, not subject to the call, two, Boquist, Burley.
All members are present. Representative Wisnett, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Chair, I kindly request an oral roll call, please.
Representative Wisnett requests an oral roll call vote. He is joined by Representative Nelson, Representative Lim, Representative Dahlem, Representative Gilman, and Representative Maurer. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will say aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no, and the clerk will call the roll in reverse alphabetical order.
Witt.
Aye.
Wisnett. Tomei.
Yeah.
Thatcher. Patty Smith. Greg Smith. Shields.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Schaffler.
Aye.
Rosenbaum. Roblin, Riley, Richardson, Reed, Olson, Nolan, Nelson, Nathanson, Morgan, Minnis, Maurer, McPherson, Lim, Crummel, Krieger, Kotek, Comp, Jensen, Hunt, Holvey, Hannah. Greenlick. Gerard. Gilman. Gilliam. Gelzer. Gerard. Galizio. Flores. Esquivel. David Edwards. Chris Edwards. Dingfelder. Dallum. Cowan. Clem. Cannon. Cameron. Butler. Burley. Buckley. Bruin. Boquist. Boone. Bonamici. Beyer. Berger. Barnhart. Barker. Mr. Speaker. Voting no. Berger. Bruin, Butler, Cameron, Dallum, Esquivel, Flores, Gerard, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Hannah, Jensen, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nelson, Olson, Richardson, Scott, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Wisnet, excuse, 2, Boquist, Burley.
The vote is 31 aye, 27 nay. House Bill 5003, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Just one moment, Representative Jensen, before I bang the gavel, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to change my no to yea.
Jensen votes aye. House Bill 5003, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5002, relating to financial administration of the State Department of Agricultural Property Money, declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5002A. Representative Clem.
Thank you, colleagues. I know some of you didn't want to vote for the fees that help pay for this budget. I'm hoping I can at least talk you into voting for the budget at this point. This is the Department of Agriculture budget. It's a good, solid budget. There's a couple things that I think we'd like to get added back in towards the end of session if we could, in terms of the Sustainable Agriculture Research Center I've been lobbying the co-chair on. But otherwise, it's a solid budget, and I would recommend its support and answer any questions people have about it. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I voted no on this budget in the full committee, but I'll be voting yes on this budget today on the floor.
Further discussion, Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, I wanted to draw your attention to page 6 of the summary on this bill. It talks about Package 811, which is farm to school. I'm very pleased to see that this budget includes $150,000 to establish a position in the Department of Agriculture to work with schools to promote their purchase and use of local agricultural products. I would also point out that the companion to having a position in the Department of Agriculture is having a position in the Department of Education, who can act as that conduit with the schools in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture to make the farm to school program really get off the ground. This is a win-win for our schools and for our agricultural economy. And one of the challenges we have is that we have to make sure that schools can actually have the resources they need to access the food that farmers can provide locally. And so I hope that we can see at the end of session some support on the education, Department of Education side, for the farm to school initiative, so we can complete this initiative in a way that gets it off the ground in a really strong way. And I urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have a question from the representative from, just a second, North Portland. I wonder if she would yield.
Representative Kremel, you wish to ask a question of Representative Kotek?
I do.
Does Representative Kotek yield to a question?
I do.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. I really appreciate you bringing bringing Package 811 to our attention. And what I was wondering is that I was just looking through the key performance measures, and I don't see anything tied to that. Was there a discussion in committee about what will define success of that program, and so that we know what success in that package is?
Representative, that's an excellent question. Unfortunately, I'm not able to answer that. That might be better addressed to the carrier from the committee.
Okay, did you wish to,
thank you.
Representative, redirect your question to the carrier?
Yes, I would like to, Mr.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
He does.
He does. Please restate your question.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I will. And thank you, Representative. And thank you also to the representative from North Portland. I do appreciate it. The previous speaker just gave us, brought to our attention Package 811 on the farm to school. And I know that this is something that has been talked about greatly. It was talked about in the Education Committee as well. In looking through the key performance measures, so I don't see anything relative to that. Was there a discussion in the committee about what defines success of the farm to school program so we have an idea of what it is that we're looking for?
Thank you, Representative. There was discussion about the need for outcomes-based results, and EcoTrust is someone who actually spoke to that specifically. They already run kind of a farm-to-fork program, and they said they would be willing to share a lot of their ability to analyze effectiveness. But as you noted, we didn't create a performance measure yet for this program. It's a new program, but it's something we need to do a performance measure on.
To the bill. I would like to point a thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you to the representative for answering my question. I just would like to point out that whenever we're adding new programs like this, we really should have somewhere in the record something that identifies what is defining success, even if it's not becoming a key performance measure, but what defines success of the program. That way, future legislatures can look at that and determine whether or not it's something that should be continued, or if it's something that should be adjusted, or if it's something that should be eliminated. I think that we can give future legislatures real tools in this respect that can be very helpful in budgeting, because as we know, any time a new program comes about, even if there's only one constituent that takes advantage of it, it becomes a very vocal constituent or constituency. And of course, if we were to eliminate any programs, life as we know it today in this state and probably in this nation and in this world would never, ever be the same. So consequently, we don't ever get rid of programs once we start them, even if they have no value, even if they meet no need, even if they aren't doing what they were originally designed to do. So I just bring that up as a point. I do appreciate the farmer school program. I think it's something that can be very valuable. And I'm looking through the rest of the programs here, I think that there are things that can be valuable. But I think that we should start defining what is success so that we know in the future. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Dallin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Carrier does.
He does.
In looking through the bill, I'm looking for some reference to wildlife service and wondered if that was carried in this budget or in another place.
Thank you, Representative. There is money in this budget. None was cut from it. It's the same that they got this last biennium, same amount.
Was there any consideration? I believe there was $150,000 allocated to that program in the past. Was there any consideration?
Additional question
to the carrier.
Yeah,
thank you.
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Was there any consideration of adding to that amount to make that program functional?
Yeah, thank you, Representative. We actually did add over in the Department of Fish and Wildlife another $100,000 for wildlife enforcement.
So I want to be crystal clear. We have $150,000 in this budget.
Representative?
Another question of the carrier?
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
He does.
He does.
Between the two budgets, the figure then is $250,000.
I can get the exact number for you, but it's more like 200 and some thousand in ODF and budget total. We just added another 100,000 and then another 300,000 here. So it's more like half a million between the two. But I can get you the exact numbers if you'd like them.
Thank you very much, Representative, for your patience.
Further discussion? Representative Klim, do you wish to close?
Oh, no, that's fine. Thank you.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Votes no. House Bill 5002A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5022, relating to the Financial Administration of the Department of Environmental Quality, appropriated money, and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5022A. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. House Bill 5022 is the budget bill for the Department of Environmental Quality. The department administers the state's laws assuring clean air, water, and land. The department also manages the federally delegated Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act. And the department administers the state environmental programs in the areas of solid waste management, recycling, groundwater protection, and environmental cleanup. The recommended budget for the Department of Environmental Quality totals $298 million. That budget includes $37.9 million in general funds, $5 million in lottery funds, $126 million in other funds, and $30.7 million federal funds. The budget includes over $98 million of non-limited other funds for administering the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, loan activities, as well as debt service. The budget adds general fund in the air and water quality programs to restore reductions taken in previous biennia and to restore services that would otherwise be eliminated due to declining federal funding for federally delegated programs. General fund is also added in the hazardous waste program, and money has been added to enhance the existing water quality standards and groundwater protection programs. The recommendation includes $2 million to begin a watershed-based toxics monitoring program with the understanding that the purpose of the work is not just to identify waterborne toxics, but to determine whether they pose a significant risk to human health or wildlife. $1 million general fund, $1.5 million federal fund, and $500,000 other funds are proposed to begin a clean diesel grant program that will make grants to reduce diesel emissions, which is a wonderful win-win for both clean air and the trucking and construction industries. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5022.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill, please.
To the bill.
Yeah, last session I was on the Ways and Means Subcommittee of Natural Resources, and we passed this budget out, and there wasn't everything in there that everyone wanted, which is very common with budgets. I voted yes, and I don't ever regret that vote, nor will I ever. I will be voting yes. One of the things I spoke to on that budget 2 years ago was my concerns of our reducing the number of air quality monitoring stations here in the state of Oregon, which I didn't like that, but I held my nose and voted yes on the budget because that's what we have to do around here sometimes. Yesterday I scolded some nice people for not paying attention to a pesticide fine bill, and because they weren't in this room paying attention. I hope and pray every one of those nice people is paying attention today as we pass this fine budget. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I voted no on this budget in the full committee, but I'll be voting yes on this budget on the floor today.
Further discussion? Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, there are several communities, currently one I represent, Klamath Falls and Oak Ridge, that are already out of DEQ and federal standards on air quality and are going to be looking at some serious air quality problems in the future. There are also five other major cities in the state of Oregon that are on the very, very close list and that may be going on this list. This is not a list you want to get on. It throws a blanket over economic development. It creates a lot of hardships for your constituents. The options you have and we have is either to have DEQ, our local state organization, come in and work with local leaders to try to correct the problem, or allow the federal environmental agency to come in. This is not desirable. They don't work with your local officials. It's important that we support DEQ and their air quality efforts throughout this state. So I encourage your yes vote.
Further discussion? Representative Nolan, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Madam Speaker, I will echo a bit of what Representative Garrard said. This is a very responsible budget, but it's responsible because it's been brought forward by a responsible agency. And there are many very competent and professional people who work at this agency under the leadership of Stephanie Halleck, who works explicitly in everything that she does and everything this department does to work with the stakeholders, including the regulated industries that she's responsible for. And I think we all owe her a debt of gratitude and wish there were more like her running state agencies. Thank you.
Representative Binkfelder, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I rise to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
My husband is an employee of the Department of Environmental Quality.
Representative Dingfelter declares a potential conflict of interest. It shall be noted for the record. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Representative Tomei, I believe you were off the floor. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Krummel, how do you vote? Aye. Representative Krummel votes aye. House Bill 5022A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5023, relating to financial administration of the Department of Environmental Quality and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5023A. Representative Clem.
Okay, colleagues, we're on a little roll here. This is the fee ratification bill from the fees modified during the last interim to pay for that budget that we just passed. So I'm not holding out entirely optimistic hopes that we're going to get the same vote count, but I would answer any questions just in case I can convince anyone. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Representative Wisnett asks for a call of the House. He's joined by Representatives Nelson, Representative Scott, Representative Lim, Representative Schaffler, and Representative Clem. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, the sergeant at arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker.
Parker Barnhart, Berger, Fire, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dallum Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Hunt Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Barker, excused, not subject to the call, 3, Boquist, Burley, Jensen.
Members, while we're waiting, I have an announcement. It's the bottom of the second, and the score is Virginia 3, Oregon State 5.
Not answering, Mr. Speaker.
There he is. Okay, there he is. All members are present. Representative Dingfelder, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I rise to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
My husband is employed by the Department of Environmental Quality.
Representative Dingfelder declares a potential conflict of interest. It's noted for the record. Representative Clem, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to request an oral roll call vote.
Representative Clem requests an oral roll call vote. He is joined by Representative Cannon, Representative David Edwards, Representative Galizio, Representative Schaffler, and Representative Gilman. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no, as their names are called in alphabetical order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Barker.
Aye.
Barnhart.
Aye.
Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. How do you vote? Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Greenlick. Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Voting no. Berger. Bruin. Butler. Cameron. Dallum. Esquivel. Flores. Garrard. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Hanna. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nelson. Olson. Richardson. Scott. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Wisnet. Excused. Three. Boquist. Burley. Jensen.
The vote is 31 aye, 26 no. And then House Bill 5023A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5038, relating to financial administration of the Office of Private Health Partnerships, appropriating money and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5038A. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 5038A is the Office of Private Health Partnerships budget bill for the 2007-09 biennium. The Office of Private Health Partnerships provides employers and individuals with information about health care resources and health insurance. The office also administers Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, or FEOP. This program offers health insurance premium subsidies for eligible low-income persons. The recommended budget is $82.3 million total funds, a 6% decrease from the 2005-07 biennium legislatively approved budget of $87.9 million. The reduction is the result of removing expenditure limitation that was not supported with revenue nor needed for agency operations. This budget includes about $25 million of general fund, about $100,000 less general fund than the 2005-07 legislatively approved budget. This modest reduction results from using $1.5 million of miscellaneous other funds revenue instead of general fund resources. This budget does not include expenditure limitation for a proposed expansion of health insurance coverage for children through the Healthy Kids Plan. Expenditure limitation could be added later to the Office of Health, Private Health Partnerships budget by the Legislative Assembly or the Emergency Board if the Children's Health Care Health Insurance expansion is ultimately approved. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved the performance measures for the agency, but directed the Legislative Fiscal Office and the agency to review two of the measures with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to investigate whether there are better outcome measures that could be used to gauge agency progress in fulfilling its mission. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 5038A be approved.
Further discussion? Representative Boone, do you wish to close?
Only to say that you can all vote for this budget because there's been a savings. Thanks very much.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Flores, votes aye. House Bill 5038A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2810, relating to tax credits.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2810B.
Representative Flores.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2810, it comes to you at the request of the Child Care, Oregon Commission for Child Care, and it involves the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit. I'd like to give you a little bit of background, colleagues, on this particular concept. First, the Commission for Child Care is a body of 18 volunteers appointed by the Governor, Speaker of the House, President of the Senate, and an advisory body on issues, problems, and solutions related to affordable, quality child care in Oregon, and to advocate for the availability of safe, quality, and affordable child care. I have had the privilege of serving on the Commission for Child Care for the past couple of years. Little background on the contribution tax credit. Legislation to establish the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit was originally introduced in the 2001 session. And the goals included to spur private investment in child care by providing a tax incentive, promote and sustain the operation of quality center and home-based child care, strategically allocate child care tax credits to achieve specific and measurable goals for targeted communities and populations, and to set industry standards for the cost of providing quality child care while paying providers a livable wage. Proceeds from the credits are used to create a demonstration project to show how child care can work when adequately funded. By simultaneously addressing quality, affordability, and provider compensation, this innovative tax credit program reveals the true cost of quality child care and helps to restore the balance in this critical sector of Oregon's economy. As required by the legislation, the Child Care Division appointed an advisory committee to assist in administration of this statutory responsibility. Members include state agency representatives, advocates, and private business members. The committee designed a pilot project that would address the following needs: reduce parent cost of care to no more than 10% of household income, increase provider reimbursement by providing an annual stipend based on training and education, and improve quality of care by providing a consultant to assist providers in creating a learning environment. The goals of the legislation were to create an incentive for businesses and individuals to invest in child care, create a funding pool of private contributions that promote and sustain the operation of quality, affordable child care businesses, target specific community needs such as infant and toddler care, school age, or after-hours care, assess the actual cost of quality child care by addressing quality, affordability, and compensation within the same project, and strengthen child care businesses while making child care services more affordable to low-income parents. The tax credits were first marketed in 2004. All credits were used. The advisory committee issued a statewide RFP for a community agency to administer the pilot project. Lane County Connections, the child care resource and referral agency serving Lane County, was the successful first applicant. The project began in 2005 and continues to operate. It has been evaluated by an independent contractor from its inception. A second project was awarded to Neighborhood House in Portland in 2006 and will begin in this year. You might ask, where and how are the funds distributed? The funds will be distributed to qualified community agencies selected as the demonstration sites, but there is no geographic link between the location of the investor and that of the demonstration projects. And again, the funds are used to increase provider wages and professional development, to decrease parent costs to less than 10% of family income, and improve the quality of child care. Who is eligible to contribute? Any individual or company with Oregon state tax liability. And how are the funds managed? All funds will be deposited in the State Child Care Fund, managed by the Child Care Division of the Employment Department, and annually distributed to the demonstration projects. other benefits that contributors receive. In addition to tax credits received, contributors help Oregon with a return on their investment. Small business development, support for the workforce, and children entering school ready to succeed. Contributors are ultimately supporting a statewide child care system that is safe, of high quality, affordable, and accessible. What are the results of the pilot project? With a budget of $513,000, 765 children were impacted by increasing access to affordable, quality child care in Lane County, which, as I mentioned, was the recipient of the 2004 Child Care Project. Taking into account 7.4% for administration, or approximately $38,000, the Lane County Project allocation per child was $475 over an 18-month period. Other benefits are, this allows Oregon taxpayers who care about child care to target their tax dollars, provides a modicum of stability for funding for child care, elevates the discussion from a women's or welfare issue to the level of economic development and workforce. This particular bill simply extends the sunset date, which is due to expire December 31st, 2008. Originally, we had asked to have the sunset totally removed. The First Amendment was we agreed at a 20-year sunset date, and the Second Amendment was now that the sunset is set at 2013. We ask your support for House Bill 2810.
Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I wanted to start off by thanking the good representative from Clackamas, Damascus, Boring, and Estacada for her strong advocacy, not only this session, but in the previous session, for an issue that many of us care about, which is improving our child care system across the state. The good representative has served on the Oregon Commission for Child Care, and it's that commission that has prioritized this bill. And we have had an excellent summary of what the credit does as well as the adjoining program. So I will just be brief and say that we have an opportunity this session to do a tremendous amount of good work for our child care system. And the first time in many years that we're going to invest in our child care system through the employment-related daycare, hopefully with the extension of this credit, and also passing a bill that will allow child care providers to have collective bargaining ability. Those things are important to all of us because child care, whether you have kids or not, whether your kids are past child care age, it's a matter of our economic ability in this state to keep and retain workers. It's also an education issue. Quality child care prepares children for school and they succeed academically in the future. Child care is something we should all care about. This is a good bill. It's one of many that, one of several that we'll hear in the coming weeks, and I urge your support for this bill and the bills that follow. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Representative Flores, do you wish to close?
Simply to state, Madam Speaker, that I hope you will see this measure as a smart move to help Oregon's working parents make ends meet while providing quality child care for our families. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I urge an aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Buckley votes aye. Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Dallum, how do you vote? Representative Dallum, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2810B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills. Representative Nathanson, are you in the queue? For what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to return to courtesies, please.
Representative Nathanson requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Seeing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to welcome a group that has just joined us in the gallery. I'd like to let my colleagues know that we have nearly 50 students from the fourth grade visiting us from Buena Vista School in Eugene. Welcome, and I hope you enjoy your day.
Welcome to the Capitol. Further courtesies? Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 78 relating to elections. Senate Bill 342 relating to public employee retirement. Senate Bill 492 relating to athletic activities regulated by the Superintendent of State Police and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 629 relating to criminal judgments and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 815 relating to taxation. Senate Bill 1011 relating to land reserves and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time or passed to third reading? Third reading of Senate bills. The Chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of Senate Bill 392 be made a special order of business immediately following Senate Bill 788 on Monday, June 11, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 462 relating to South Umpqua School District Number 19 and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 462A. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Senate Bill 462A applies to a school district in my legislative district. This is a declining enrollment rural school district that serves three small communities. One of the communities is not satisfied because of the potential closure of a middle school and has made it known that it wishes to break away from the rest of the district and form its own district. During discussions over in the Senate, it became very apparent that there was a need for a fact-finding process here and kind of a third-party look at this. So Senate Bill 462 was gotten stuffed over in the Senate to put a process in place whereby a third-party fact-finder would come in and generate a report about what was a good thing to do to resolve some of the disagreements within the district, bearing in mind the importance of the quality of the education to the students and all of the fiscal issues. I urge you to vote yes on this bill. I think it provides a viable process to get facts on the table and have a reasoned discussion around the issues that are building up in the South Umpqua School District.
Further discussion? Representative Morgan, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 462A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 590 relating to criminal impersonation.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 590A. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 590 comes to you from the Judiciary Committee, where it passed out unanimously. Oregon law creates a Class A misdemeanor for persons who injure, deceive, or defraud another, or who intend to obtain a benefit by falsely impersonating a, quote, public servant. This is defined as, one, an officer or employee of the state or of any political subdivision of the state, two, an advisor, consultant, or assistant acting at the request of the state or of any political subdivision of the state, and three, a person nominated, elected, or appointed to a position but not yet filling the role, and four jurors. If the public servant is a peace officer, judge, or justice of the peace, the offense is a Class C felony. Senate Bill 590 amends current law in the following ways. One, it adds, quote, to facilitate an unlawful activity, unquote, to establishing intent, and two, includes the impersonation of an active member or veteran of the armed forces of the United States. Senate Bill 590 has no fiscal impact. It is a good bill, and it deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Barker, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Girard, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nathanson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 590A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 951, relieved due student voters and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 951A. Representative Clem.
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Speaker. This bill comes to you unanimously from your House Committee on Education, directs the community colleges and state institutions of higher ed to adopt plans to encourage students to register and vote in election. It also requires that students receive information about activities related to voting that are prohibited by law and penalties for those activities. So it sort of blends honoring the right to vote with some responsibilities, such as registering in multiple states, some of the items that were discussed, which can happen if you move from one state down to college to go to campus. You need to be clear you cannot keep voting both places. We'd be happy to answer any questions. It's a good bill. Should promote some more civic involvement from our young people. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Flores.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you. On the staff measure submarine, Representative, it's noted that there was discussion about the importance of nonpartisanship when community colleges and universities facilitate voter registration. Can you highlight some of those discussions for us, please?
I absolutely can. In fact, I think it was my friend from the Gresham area who I talked about it. He wished that there was no political work on campus at all because they're students. And I said, I don't know that we can get politics all the way off college campuses, but we certainly need to make sure that when the voter registration drives are occurring, that there is not being done by, in terms of the campus-based activities, it's not being done by any party, you know, student group that is associated with a party. They need to go do their own. These plans are for campus-based things that have absolutely no partisan angle to them. You should never tell somebody how to register. I mean, those are the kinds of topics that got covered, that there should be no discussion about how to register in terms of party affiliation, and that the entities involved in the campus-based voter registration drives that are the ones we're calling for are done by entities that don't have anything to do with a political party, like the student government, for example, or the administration.
One additional question.
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you. And so it would be, you would envision that there would be a place where a student could go to pick up their voter registration, fill it out, and turn it in at that point, and not something a voter registration card provided by a particular project.
Yeah, the way that it generally works on campuses now is they're done piecemeal by various interest groups and student groups who may have an interest, and so they register voters, but they probably also hand them materials about, you know, vote for this person. What we're trying to get at is get some registration cards like in the residence hall mailboxes.
No other flyers on how to vote. No, you know, register as a Democrat, register as a Republican. Just get them a card, or when they go to sign up at admissions, have a card for them. And that way it sort of removes it away to some extent from the interest groups who are out registering voters and gets it to a more neutral status.
The real last question, Madam Speaker.
Additional question? Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you. And is there some reason why this cannot be done without this legislation?
That's a good question. I was a student voter registrar myself. So that was my first activity. And what I found was that it could be done if you could get your administration to work with you on, for example, how to get cards to the new student orientation program, where kids come in during the summer right before school. Well, I didn't have a lot of luck, and I wasn't representing any partisan activity. We're just trying to get it to new students, and we just didn't have an easy time for whatever reason getting the administration at that time to agree to come up with kind of a joint method between student government and the administration on how to get cards in front of new students. This basically says you do need to come up with a plan. So it's not necessary in terms of legally, but in reality, I think it will help tell them we want them to talk about how to get people registered to vote.
Further discussion, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you. My first take on this bill was kind of that it could possibly be an unfunded mandate. And with the community colleges and institutions of higher education in Oregon crying for more money, usually it's not enough. I'm just worried that this will end up being an unfunded mandate. I'm just wondering what kind of, how much is this going to cost? Was there any discussion of that during committee?
There, thank you for the question. There was not discussion in the policy committee about it. It didn't go to Ways and Means, so there wasn't discussion there, obviously, since it didn't happen. My personal experience, having been a student body president who tried to get discussions going around this, is, you know, it would be a series of meetings on a college campus that are going to happen anyway, because the students typically ask for these kinds of things. It's just a question of whether the universities say yes or not to developing a comprehensive plan. So I doubt there would be any additional cost to the universities, because it's meetings that I'm sure already occur anyway. We're just saying in this bill as a state legislature, we would like you to come up with a plan to make sure students have opportunity to register, should vote, and know their responsibilities about the legalities around voting.
Additional question?
Additional question. Does the carrier yield? He does.
I do.
You're talking about the plan. Who approves the plan, and who's following up to make sure a plan has been implemented?
Let me just check the bill real quick. So the approval of the plan, so each community college and state institution of higher education shall adopt a plan in consultation with a recognized student government. And then we detail what the plan should include. And then we say that they shall adopt the plan by no later than February 1st, 2008. So the universities still have the ultimate authority on the plan. We just wanted to do it in consultation with the student government. And I guess technically they're on the honor system to get it done. And we'll be looking at this starting after February 1, 2008 to see if they actually did it.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
One moment, sir. Sure. Yes, I do wish to close. I just would like to clarify that the amendments that came into the bill about your legal responsibilities to voting are again related to people who are registered to vote, say, down in Klamath Falls, and then they come up to Oregon State, who is currently ahead still 5-3 in the sixth, and they would be told by the plan that you do not get to vote in Klamath Falls and Corvallis. You have to pick one place or the other. Now that we have a state centralized voter registration file, should be easier to detect that anyway. But it's very key to this amendment that people felt comfortable voting for the bill, that people are aware you cannot vote in two places, and that needs to be part of the plan and part of the discussions called for under this bill. Thank you for your consideration.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 951A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1002, related to search and rescue.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1002A. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 1002-A comes to you having been passed unanimously from your Joint Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy Committee and also received unanimous support of our colleagues in the Senate. This bill is the product of the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force. The task force convened in January following several high-profile searches in Oregon. It was comprised of representatives from the search and rescue community, Oregon sheriffs, and other law enforcement, Oregon Emergency Management, U.S. Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, Military Department, and the cellular phone industry. Representative Maurer and I also served as members of the task force and saw firsthand the breadth of knowledge, experience, and commitment that each of the members had in the field of search and rescue. The recommendations of the task force included in this bill are the result of a thoughtfully built consensus that represents an important first step of improving search and rescue in Oregon. Let me briefly walk you through what this measure does. Multi-jurisdictional searches in Section 1. Current statute does not specifically address who is in charge of a multi-jurisdictional search and rescue operation. The statute merely states that the general policy that the sheriff of a county is in charge of search and rescue in that county. Senate Bill 1002 will provide guidance in multi-jurisdictional searches as follows. When search and rescue resources are deployed and the search area involves more than one jurisdiction, then one sheriff or their authorized designee shall assume command, or the jurisdictions shall form a unified command as outlined in the National Incident Management System's command system. If one particular sheriff or regional search and rescue council does not take or authorize command of the incident, then by default, the sheriff's office that received the call first will be in charge of the search and rescue operation. The National Incident Management System Incident Command, Section 2. Current statute requires county sheriffs to adopt search and rescue plans that contain certain minimum specifications. Currently, this statute does not require the county plans to address the incident management in its incident command system outlined by National Incident Management System. NIMS is an integrated system that establishes a uniform set of processes, protocols, and procedures that all emergency responders should use in managing the response to emergencies. NIMS and ICS are best practices that provide excellent organizational structure for use in search and rescue planning and operations. NIMS provides certainty in command and increases effectiveness of search and rescue efforts by reducing confusion under the pressures of emergency situations. Senate Bill 1002 will amend Chapter 401 to require NIMS and ICS compliance with search and rescue efforts. Search and Rescue Critique, Section 3. Senate Bill 1002 will strengthen this requirement by requiring the development of a standardized critique form to be used in all such after-action critiques and adding language requiring that critiques include both the search and rescue and the investigative components of the incident. Missing persons subpoena, Section 4. Senate Bill 1002 will create authority for a missing persons civil investigatory subpoena for use in search for missing persons. The subpoena will be a tool for obtaining information that would be limited to aiding in the investigation of a missing person's whereabouts. This authority is needed for circumstances where a grand jury subpoena is not appropriate because no crime is suspected, but where there is probable cause to believe an individual is missing and in danger. The measure limits the use of the information that is sought by the subpoena so that personal privacy is preserved and does not alter the nature of any confidentiality protected information. Leaves of absence for search and rescue volunteers, Section 5. Senate Bill 1002 will provide certified search and rescue volunteers with leave of absences to the same extent that current law provides such leaves for volunteer firefighters, and this is in ORS 476574, which is discretionary to the employer. The scope of eligibility will include search and rescue volunteers who are approved by the county sheriff or Oregon Emergency Management in the provisions for leaves and absences from employment for volunteer duty. Chapter 401, Cleanup, Section 7. Senate Bill 1002 will update and or delete sections of ORS Chapter 401 that are obsolete, including deletion of the provision that currently requires Oregon State Police to regulate electronic signaling devices. These specifications are set by federal and industrial standards, and Oregon State Police is not the appropriate entity to carry out this mandate. Colleagues, this measure will help better ensure proper coordination and communication of search and rescue efforts throughout the state and ultimately will help save lives. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Senate Bill 1002 is a great bill, but it only addresses half of the problem. The bill today addresses some policy issues that have not been addressed in the state of Oregon for decades. There's a funding piece to follow up, and I hope that gets full consideration. It's unfortunate that the state of Oregon waits until we make CNN for a tragedy or Doonesbury as a comedy, and I hope the state of Oregon heeds the major searches that have been conducted in the state of Oregon that have not shed good light on this state and the processes that we have, and that we look at other issues, we address those problems thoughtfully and ahead of time, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Boone, do you wish to close?
I would just like to close by thanking all the members of the Search and Rescue Task Force, the time that they put in, and Joel O'Leary from the Governor's Office who convened it, Director of OEM Ken Murphy, and all the people who came down and sat through the four-hour meetings at the end of each day, the days that we had them, and Representative Maurer, Senator Johnson, Senator Berger from our body who helped convene this product and the... They did the heavy lifting. We're just carrying it, and I'm carrying it today, and hope you will vote yes for this.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilman, how do you vote? Representative Gilman? Off the floor. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Hannah, how do you vote? Representative Hannah off the floor. Senate Bill 1002A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1040, related to students with chronic illnesses and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1040A. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm delighted to bring you Senate Bill 1040 from the House Education Committee. In the good old days when we used to fund education adequately, every school had a nurse, and the nurse was in her office available. When a student needed any help, they were sent down to the nurse's office, and they got to take, the nurse helped them take medication when they needed it and dealt with other problems. Well, schools mostly don't have nurses anymore, or they'll be in for a half a day a week or something like that. And at the same time as we lost nurses, we have policies that that don't allow students to self-medicate themselves. And the medical care during a school is now left, in many cases, to a secretary in the school who literally has no way of dealing with the real crisis problems of a student. This bill allows students to self-medicate. Well, it requires school boards to create policies that allow students that have asthma and severe life-threatening allergies to self-medicate themselves during school. And it requires that those policies take into account or require a written treatment plan by a physician, the prescription of medication by a physician, the parent's approval of the process, requires that the physician or nurse practitioner or PA train the student on how to use the medication. Basically, we're talking about two kinds of things. We're talking about inhalers for kids with severe asthma and EpiPens for kids with severe allergies. My granddaughter, for example, has a peanut allergy and always carries in her backpack an EpiPen that allows her to give herself a dose of epinephrine if she stumbles across peanuts accidentally. And it requires those kids to know how to use these self-medications. They do know how to use them because they're taught to use them for all other circumstances when they're not in school. And this policy, this bill just makes a great deal of sense because the kids are the ones that actually have to provide that medication, and a school secretary really is not the right person to supervise it. It's a good bill. It's straightforward. It gives the school boards lots of time to create these policies. And I urge your yes vote.
Further discussion? Representative Greenlick, do you wish to close?
I don't. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. Senate Bill 1040A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5537, related to financial administration of the Public Utility Commission and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5537A. Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I bring you the budget bill for the Oregon Public Utility Commission, or PUC. This bill comes to you from your Joint Ways and Means Committee, where it passed unanimously with a due pass recommendation. The mission of the Public Utility Commission is to ensure that safe and reliable utility services are provided to consumers at just and reasonable rates. The Commission does this by regulating investor-owned electric and natural gas companies, as well as certain telephone and water companies. The agency's program consists of the following: utility regulation, Residential Service Protection, which provides equipment, interpretive and financial assistance for impaired and low-income Oregonians, and Policy and Administration. The Ways and Means Committee recommends a budget of $140,626,996 in total funds and 123.5 FTE for the 2007-09 biennium. The PUC budget does not include any general fund dollars. It is a completely other funds agency. The recommendation includes an adjustment which reduces other funds non-limited by $4,020,000 in the utility regulation program to better reflect the amount of revenue and corresponding special payments the PUC expects to make related to the Oregon Universal Service Fund, which offsets the higher cost of telephone services in rural areas. The recommended budget also includes reductions in personal services, as well as services and supplies, totaling $332,081 other funds. This is expected savings associated with part-time employees, services and supplies, renegotiated contracts, and efficiencies and outreach efforts associated with the Residential Service Protection Fund. The recommended budget represents a 3% total funds reduction from the governor's recommended budget and a 1.8% reduction from the legislatively approved budget. The Ways and Means Committee ratified changes to performance measure targets related to the Energy Trust of Oregon that were presented to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee in September 2006. Three measures were deemed obsolete or redundant. Your Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5537A as amended.
Further discussion? Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm going to focus primarily on the key performance measures in my comments for the PUC, particularly as it reflects and to the energy trust. As you know, in 1999, with Senate Bill 1145, we created the energy trust, and we created a 3% public purpose charge that would go to the Energy Trust for the purpose of improving energy efficiency and in terms of giving folks that couldn't necessarily afford to do energy savings programs on their own the ability to do it. There are three factors in that. One is residential, second is commercial, and the third is industrial. And also within there is a certain amount of money that goes to school districts that helps school districts with their energy efficiency in the schools and the different buildings that they have. With regards to the key performance measures, I know you're kind of saying, well, where is he going with this? With regards to the key performance measures, and we've looked at this agency, but in the audits committee in the 2005 session, we looked very closely at the energy trust to make sure that they were actually doing with the money what they were supposed to be doing. We had some real questions, and one of the things that brings up a big question about the Energy Trust is the fact that they are sitting on the most expensive real estate in the state of Oregon, and they're using your dollars, your public purpose funds, to and the public's public purpose funds to be able to sit on the most expensive real estate in the state of Oregon. That's in downtown Portland. They argue that they need to be sitting there because they need to be next to Bonneville Power and Portland General Electric and PacifiCorp. My argument is they don't need to be sitting on the most expensive real estate in the state of Oregon. They can be anywhere because with phones, faxes, computers, email, and so on, and web-based applications, they don't have to be sitting right there. But be that as it may be, I sort of have lost that argument. But one of the things that we absolutely insisted on was that the PUC put together some key performance measures specific to the Energy Trust and how it operates and what it is doing. And so I want to bring your attention specifically to key performance measures 13 through 17. These are aimed right at the Energy Trust and how the Energy Trust is using these public purpose dollars and what kind of response we are actually getting. Something that's definable, something that shows that these dollars are being well spent and that we're not just taking 3% of the public's money and flushing it down the toilet. I do have one minor correction that needs to be made, though, in this, and that is, and I'll put on the record here, and that is in number 14. It says commercial energy efficiency, ratio of dollars realized in energy savings per dollar of public purpose fund expenditure for of energy trust residential programs, and that should be for energy trust commercial programs, not residential programs. The drafters of this just have that mixed up, but that's something that I'm sure they can make a correction of. In addition, as was pointed out by the carrier of the bill, this was also looked at. These performance measures were looked at by the Joint Legislative Audits Committee last, I believe it was November, when we were looking at these types of the performance measures for agencies, and we all agreed that these were very realistic. So what we can expect, and I think this is what I'm trying to get to, with the public purpose money, is that in residential programs, we can expect a return on investment of $3.7 for every $1 of public purpose money put in. We can expect $2.8 in the commercial arena, and we can expect $2.9 in the industrial arena. Also, we can expect that they will have an average annual megawatts acquired through their programs, through the energy trust programs, of 12 megawatts per year on a three-year rolling average. These are good numbers. These are good performance measures to be looking at. It gives us something very definitive and very very specific to look at with regards to the energy trust. And I would say to legislatures in the future, if they don't meet these, then go after them and don't let them keep collecting that public purpose money, and don't let them continue to use something and be flushing the money where it
Representative
really
Flores yields.
Thank you, Representative. Where it really is intended to be beneficial, both in terms of our energy usage in the state, but also in terms of our but also in terms of how the money is being used and what we're getting in terms of a return on investment. We can expect some very high and quality things from the energy trust, and this is exactly where it starts. So my hope is that in the future, the Ways and Means Committees, the Joint Legislative Audits Committees, and the legislature as a whole will keep tabs on this and make sure that they keep doing the job that they're supposed to be doing with regards to how those public purpose monies are being spent. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise to declare potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
I have a family member who works at the Public Utility Commission.
Representative Beyer declares a potential conflict of interest. It's noted for the record. Further discussion? Representative Edwards, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Madam Speaker. First of all, I would like to thank the good representative from Wilsonville for his work on the Joint Legislative Audit Committee in September of last year for developing the performance measures he so eloquently pointed out for the rest of us. I'd also like to announce that while the good representative from Wilsonville was speaking, OSU managed to score two more runs, and now they're up 7-3.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative David Edwards, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Scott, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Olson, votes aye. Representative Greenlick, votes aye. And Representative Hanna, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 5537A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 107 relating to emission fees for major sources and declared an emergency.
Thank
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 107A. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Attention, Republican colleagues. This is a fee increase. That just saves you the time of looking through everything to see why do I want to vote against this. I'm going to tell you why you want to vote for it. Senate Bill, there's a good part and a bad part. This is the bad part. Senate Bill 107 increases air pollutant discharge permit fees for Oregon's largest industrial facilities. Title V of the Federal Clean Air Act, which does not include field burning, requires three major sources be permitted. Federal law also requires that the Title V fees, are you listening to this, fellow Republican? The Title V fees pay for 100% of the cost of operating the program. That's mandated by the federal. Oregon operates the program under delegation from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. By law, DEQ is able to adjust the fees annually by up to the CPI rate for the Portland metro region. Over time, this small annual increase has fallen behind the cost of operating the program. This has caused a backlog of permits awaiting action in the program as the department has been forced to cut expenditures to match the fee revenue. The bill now phases in the fee increase over the next 3 years. With this change, the fee payers now support the fee adjustments. Remember that federal law requires the states to establish the fees sufficient to fully fund the cost of this Title V program. Permission to use a visual assist, Madam Speaker?
Yes, Representative?
Permission to use a visual aid.
Representative Garrard requests permission to use a visual aid. Is there objection? Seeing none, please go ahead.
Colleagues, this is a very simple card from John Ledger with Associated Oregon Industries that says, we are very pleased to reach agreement with DEQ on this bill, as it was the single DEQ fee increase we could not support outright. It now provides them with more money and a more stable base, especially after an expected drop in emissions in a few years. And the provisions dealing with the EQC will open better lines of communication without restricting what the EQC can adopt. So, Associated Oregon Industries were part of the negotiation. They've agreed to these fees. This is a program that can only be funded through the fees charged by DEQ. And once again, I'll remind you, far better to have the state of Oregon DEQ doing this monitoring than it is to have the federal government come in and do air monitoring. So I would appreciate your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Garrard, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk, Representative Richardson, asks for a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Dallum, Representative Wisnett, Representative Gilman, Representative Morgan, and Representative Flores. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart, Berger, Berger Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Butler Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Esquivel Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Nolan Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Roblin Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Berger, Butler, Esquivel, Nolan, Roblin, excuse, not subject to the call, 3, Boquist, Burley, Jensen.
Members, the score is 7-3. Top of the seventh, Oregon is ahead, but Virginia has two on base. Oregon State is ahead. Members, all members are present. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Kindly request an oral roll call vote.
Representative Wisnant requests an oral roll call vote. He is joined by Representative Scott, Representative Cannon, Representative Dallum, Representative Chris Edwards, and Representative Gilman. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will say aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. Members, you do need to speak up or we cannot record your vote, and the clerk will call the roll in reverse alphabetical order.
Witt.
Aye.
Wisnet.
No.
Tomei.
Aye.
Thatcher.
No.
Patty Smith.
No.
Greg Smith. Shields.
Aye.
Scott. Schaffler,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Roblin,
aye.
Riley,
aye.
Richardson,
aye.
Reed,
aye.
Olson,
no.
Nolan,
aye.
Nelson, Nathanson,
aye.
Morgan, Minnis, Maurer, McPherson, Lim, Crummell, Krieger, Kotek, Comp, Jensen, Hunt, Holvey, Hannah, Greenlick, Gerard, Gilman, Gilliam, Gelzer, Gerard, Galizio, Flores. Esquivel, David Edwards, Chris Edwards, Dingfelder, Dellum, Cowan, Clem, Cannon, Cameron, Butler, Burley, Buckley, Bruin, Boquist, Boone, Bonamici, Beyer, Berger, Barnhart, Barker, Mr. Speaker, Buddy No, Berger, Bruin, Butler, Cameron, Dallum, Esquivel, Flores, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Hannah, Krieger, Crummell, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nelson, Olson, Richardson, Scott, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Wisnett, excused, 3, Boquist, Burley, Jensen.
Representative Lim, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to change my vote yes to no.
Representative Lim changes his vote from aye to no. The vote is 32 aye, 25 no. And Senate Bill 107A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 130, relating to restitution.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 130A. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Senate Bill 130 comes to you with a unanimous vote from the House Judiciary Committee. And it also comes today from the Attorney General's Restitution Reform Task Force, which has been operating for the past 5 years. But this task force is comprised of 34 members from various law enforcement agencies and crime victim services, which includes judges, prosecutors, crime victim advocates, as well as legislators. Senator Prezonsky and Representative Olson are two of the current members. This particular bill is one of a series of bills put forward by the Restitution Reform Task Force and has to do with a victim's right to receive full restitution for their damages. Most criminal actions are resolved with a plea bargain or an agreed settlement. There may be certain instances where it would benefit the crime victim to agree to take less than the full amount of their economic damages. For example, an otherwise destitute criminal defendant could arrange with a relative to pay most, but not all, of the criminal judgment. Current law requires the district attorney to consult with a victim before any settlement agreement. Senate Bill 130 allows the district attorney to work with a victim to agree to restitution for less than the full amount of the victim's economic damages when it is to the victim's advantage. A key element of Senate Bill 130 is the consent of the victim to any reduction. This bill ensures that the DA and the victim consult about any negotiations. This still provides the victim flexibility to accept the restitution payment plan that benefits them the most. Senate Bill 130 is one small but vital step in assuring that one of a victim's key rights is not lost, the right to receive their due compensation in some of the most serious crimes. We urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Flores, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cameron, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Merkley, excuse for business of the House. Senate Bill 130A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 244, relating to DNA test and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 244A. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 244A, which passed out of our Judiciary Committee on unanimous vote. 244, as amended, aligns the Oregon's genetic privacy laws with the HIPAA privacy law. HIPAA and Senate Bill 244 allow health care providers and insurers to retain and disclose genetic information for the purposes of treatment, payment, and health care operations without authorization. HIPAA already protects disclosure of patient health information. All existing protections against discriminatory use of genetic information would remain in law. Senate Bill 244A expressly prohibits an insurer from using genetic information for underwriting purposes. Urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cameron, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Berger?
Aye.
Votes aye. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 244A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 296, relating to controlled substances.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 296A. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. 296, colleagues, 296A comes to you from the Judiciary Committee, where it passed unanimously. Oregon law classifies drug crimes according to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission's sentencing guidelines grid. Presently, level 8 drug offenses, the most serious drug offenses, include delivery, manufacture of substantial quantities, delivery, manufacture, possession of a commercial drug offense, delivery, manufacture within 1,000 feet of a school, certain methamphetamine manufacture offenses, and delivery of marijuana. The last offense, delivery of marijuana, was erroneously included as a level 8 offense last session. Senate Bill 296A addresses this error. It removes the reference to delivery of marijuana as a level 8 offense. Instead, it clarifies that delivery of marijuana to a person under the age of 18, if the accused is over 18 and at least 3 years older, is a level 8 offense. It also classifies delivery of any controlled substance other than marijuana in Schedules 1, 2, or 3 to a person under 18 as a level 8 offense. This has no fiscal impact, is a good bill, and deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Barker, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. Senate Bill 296A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that Senate Bill 331 and Senate Bill 464 be carried over to their proper place on the Wednesday, June 6, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Before we take a recess motion, are there any... Oh, the clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 704, relating to mercury and dental wastewater.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 704B. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll make this very quick. Colleagues, your House Committee on Energy and Environment brings forward Senate Bill 704B. What this bill does is it requires dentists who use dental materials containing mercury to implement and maintain best management practices of dental waste as developed by the Oregon Dental Association, and to have an amalgam separator installed in a wastewater drain if materials containing mercury pass through the drain. Again, colleagues, your House Committee on Energy and the Environment recommends approval of Senate Bill 704B.
Further discussion? Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wish to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
I'm a registered dentist in the state of Oregon.
Representative Gerard declares a potential conflict of interest. It is noted for the record. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed... Representative Smith does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. Senate Bill 704B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Before we take a recess motion, are there any announcements? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Republicans will caucus, so grab your lunch. Additionally, I would request that... rules be suspended and Representative Barnhart be allowed to join me in House Bill 3538 and change his vote.
Representative Scott requests unanimous consent that Representative Barnhart be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 3538, and I assume it will not change the outcome. And this is on a motion for concurrence and repassage. Representative, is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And this is on concurrence and repassage on House Bill 3538. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote?
No.
Representative Barnhart votes no. Further announcements? Representative Hunt.
Democrats will caucus at noon upstairs.
Representative Nelson, a recess motion until 4 p.m. today.
Do I move? I move we recess until 4 p.m. today, Madam Speaker.
Representative Nelson moves that the House recess until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Without objection, the House is in recess.